If you had to name the greatest writer of all time, who would you name? In the Western world, at the top of many a list would be the name Leo Tolstoy. He's on the cover of our bulletin. Tolstoy was a Russian novelist, a writer, a thinker, and a man of incredible social influence. Tolstoy started writing in the mid-1800s and lived long and well into the 20th century. His first two novels were War and Peace and Anna Karenina. Both became massive bestsellers and are still big sellers today. Both have been made into films as well as theater productions. Tolstoy's own life story has been the subject of writing and film, too. But even more significant than his fame and success was something that happened to Tolstoy in midlife. Something totally unexpected. Tolstoy was born upper class. He became a soldier and an officer, and he distinguished himself with a reputation for bravery and leadership. He became a successful writer and a man of social influence, as we said. He married the love of his life, and they had children. And by midlife, Tolstoy, he was massively successful. He felt healthy and strong. He was happily married. Lots of children, lots of good friends and family. But then, something totally unexpected happened. He was away from home, traveling. And while trying to fall asleep one night, he describes how he was seized by a terrifying thought. If he was here today and gone tomorrow, he thought, what meaning and value would his life ultimately have? Sure, people could talk about him and remember him, but he would be buried and gone. What are humans, he thought, if they're here today and gone tomorrow? What game are we humans playing, just working and trying to make a mark in some way, and then we're gone? People may remember us, but we won't be alive to enjoy that. We're like mice in a cage, running on a wheel. I mean, we could feel really great about ourselves running faster than others when we compare ourselves, but we're still running in the same circle, and we all die. These themes, by the way, can be found throughout Tolstoy's novels. Now, you would think such thoughts would come and go for Tolstoy. I mean, who here hasn't had terrifying thoughts at times, and especially in the middle of the night where they can catch us the most unguarded? But usually, such thoughts go away, no? Well, for Tolstoy, such thoughts didn't go away. In fact, in his Confessions, it's a writing, autobiographical writing, he writes about, even at one point, seriously contemplating suicide. So haunted was he by these terrifying thoughts. Fear and anxiety had wrapped themselves around him and wouldn't let him go, and it made no rational sense given all the positive things going on in his life. But at one point, Tolstoy decided that he must somehow muster up the courage to engage his despair rather than suppress it or be defeated by it. So he began a search, a desperate search for a deeper foundation of meaning for his life, something larger that could engage his mortality, his core anxiety, and his fear. He explored any wisdom and insight he could find through science and philosophy and religion. Now, but where religion was concerned, unfortunately, the only version there was around him was a Christianity that was a state and culture religion, like a social club. The church's values and society's values were more or less the same. They were centered on rising up, succeeding, getting more of this and more of that, making your mark, and then getting a pat on your back as a good person and a good citizen by those who counted. Having the added insurance of God on your side and heaven as your reward, it just sealed the deal. For those at the bottom, the church taught acquiescence and acceptance. You just accept the order of things. You obey the authorities because they're ordained by God. Church was a social club teaching you to accept what is as it is, easing your conscience if you're in power, and making you passive if you're at the bottom. Church, it was not a place for serious contemplation or questioning or searching for something more. No. Now, Tolstoy wasn't alone among the intelligentsia of Europe in being disillusioned with church. Secularization had begun among the educated classes from as early as the 1700s in Europe, and some would argue even before that. Many saw through the facade of church, and they began to question traditional religion. What if God was made up? What if all that's real is us, here and now? What if we have to make up our own meaning, not have it handed to us like little children, which is what state and church control of the masses was all about, you know, treating people like children, threatening punishments or promising rewards according to how good or bad you were as determined by those in authority or Santa Claus, you know. But then you had some, beginning with thinkers and artists, who were seeking something a lot more genuine and real to make meaning of their lives. Autonomy alone, with me, decided all the meaning there was outside the church, it wasn't enough for many. I need some way into something larger, something more transcendent. But unfortunately, all the church did was tell you what you had to believe, and if you didn't believe it or obey, you were damned. But what if I called the church's bluff? That's what secularization was, you know, calling the church's bluff. What if I saw behind the facade of church a construct that was purely human-made, a construct meant to control people and keep them chained rather than opening their hearts and minds to exploration and seeking and questioning and instilling in them a passion for something more? Tolstoy went through his search for 10 years, he says, without finding sufficient answers to satisfy the despair in his soul. 10 years. But then two things happened. First, he noticed how many peasants who were not upper class, like him, who lacked the resources, the social success, and the learning he had, lived with a certain simplicity, a dignity, and a contentment he totally lacked. Second, he began reading the Bible for himself. And he discovered for the first time, it seems, the words of Jesus as found in the Gospels, the Sermon on the Mount, for example, "Blessed are you," and so on. Something began to open up in Tolstoy. But who could he talk about it with? Was there some group, some community where he could engage in honest and raw sharing of his journey, his inner struggle, and this stirring of transcendent love through the words of Jesus? And where would such a journey take him? Okay, before continuing with more of Tolstoy's story, let's bring in our scripture readings. Today is, as we said, Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration means change, meaningful change, big change. In biblical imagery, such transfiguration is usually described using physical descriptors. There are mountains. With Moses, there is cloud and lightning like fire, and this is associated with the presence of God up close and personal. We're told that Moses was on the mountain 6 days before anything big happened, and on the seventh day he heard God speak. Seven is the number of completion. The world was created in 7 days, Every week is complete in 7 days. God rested on the seventh day, and the Sabbath became a day to contemplate and recreate oneself in the presence of the divine. But once God speaks, a new journey begins. We're told that Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. 40, as we know from the season of Lent, is the number of struggle and discernment. Transfiguration may happen on the seventh day, but the meaning of it and the change it may evoke is something that has to be worked out and lived out. It involves attention and devotion to the questions and often struggle. 40 is the number of that journey of struggle and discernment. You know, the real and meaningful changes in our lives, the real and meaningful growth, doesn't come with a snap of the fingers. It takes time, to figure out and discern the clear path ahead through our deepest feelings and fears and longings. We got to work through that, not avoid it or suppress it. And the story of Moses on the mountain is the framework for the story of Jesus on the mountain the gospel writers tell. You know, all the stories they tell, the gospel writers, they see in their own people's stories, the Old Testament stories, the kind of template for the story of Jesus. Okay, so we're told that 6 days later, Jesus took with him his closest disciples and went up on the mountain, presumably on the seventh day. Just like Moses. Rather than the lightning fire phenomenon being around Jesus, Jesus himself is transfigured. This is where it's different. Jesus himself becomes dazzling white. The association, it's unmistakable. God's presence is not just around Jesus like it was around Moses, but it is Jesus. Then there are mysterious figures who appear, and they're identified as Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets, all the traditions and teaching and sacred law of the people. And then there is a cloud here too. But instead of giving Jesus the word of God on tablets of stone as Moses was given, you know, the Ten Commandments, Jesus himself is the word of God. Jesus embodies the word of God. And so the divine voice declares, "This is my son, the beloved one. Listen to him." The disciples are terrified, no doubt, as any of us would be. But Jesus tells them not to fear. The 40 days journey will begin, and they must trust where it will take them. And we know how that story goes. It took Tolstoy 10 years after his time of crisis, this kind of crisis, began. Crises happen at different stages of life. It took him 10 years, he says. How long would it take the disciples? How long would it take you and me? So what happened to the church that it forgot about the core fact that the gospel is about transfiguration? The gospel is about core life encounters, mountaintop moments when life's meaning and purpose becomes clearer. And we are empowered to make a new journey with all the struggle and personal work that will involve. But for most of its history in the West, the church was drawn in by the power of the state, and it became a state religion, certainly through Europe. And here in North America, even though church and state were separated, the church became a social club reflecting society's popular values and prejudices. If anyone was searching, questioning, and longing for deeper meaning and purpose or exploring their own identity, you know, that could shake up and redirect their lives and society as a whole, church was not that place. Anyone who was confronted by the limits of their lives in some way, those who came into personal crisis for any number of reasons, those who were seeking a deeper meaning than just success and money, recognition, power, and self-promotion, something more, they would find little in the church to engage and direct them. Tolstoy would have been out of luck in North America, just like he was in Russia. But what about now, in 2020? You know, the fastest growing group in Canada are those, religiously speaking, fastest growing group are those who no longer identify with any organized religion. People no longer need the blessing of the church to build up their success and well-being out there in society. They no longer need the church to assure them they're good and worthy. There are better social clubs out there and better ways to affirm yourself than church if that's what you're after. So is there a purpose for the church anymore? If so, what? The purpose of the church is to become the kind of community of seeking and questioning, exploring and digging deep into ourselves, into the world, in search of ever deeper truth and justice and love. Church needs to be the kind of place and space where the Tolstoys of the world can come and engage their search for deeper meaning and purpose to life than just getting ahead. Church needs to be the kind of place and space where seekers can come and engage in a deeper search for wholeness than the promise of heaven after you die or comfort with minimum disruption to your lifestyle or your commitments in life. Church needs to be the place and space where people find love in their hearts for themselves through outreach into the world around them. Like Jesus crucified, the pain out there in the world is taken in and transfigured through the power of love and advocacy for justice, because we care. Church has to be a place and space where mountaintop transcendence can be found in the company of others also on a spiritual journey, whether that journey is 40 days or 40 years. That's what we want to build here at Armour Heights Church. That's what we are building here at Armour Heights Church. Tolstoy had to build his own network of relationships and community based on the values of Jesus. There was no place for his kind of Christianity and his ideas in the church. Would Tolstoy find a home here and now among us at Armour Heights? Let's keep building the kind of community where the Tolstoys of the world can find a home. That's our future. If we have a future, that's our future, and that future has already begun. Do you see it? Do you feel it?